Ask.com to find out what we can do for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I'm purposely letting the music run because the music is better than what we've been talking about.
Yes, it is.
And so,
I like that song. Who sings that song?
I don't know.
I wasn't born in that era. I don't know.
Well, I was, but I'm sure it'll come to me. All right, 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. Let's go back to Pizza Town, USA. Since we are broadcasting live from Tour de Pizza here, let's head back up to Brooklyn as we get ready for Saturday night's ESPN debut. Let's welcome to the program, Paige Van Zandt. Paige, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing really well. How are you?
Not too bad. Before we talk about your fight Saturday night, talk to us a little bit about, and I know you've talked about this numerous times, about what the experience on Dancing with the Stars was. How was that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh, it was so much fun. It was an experience unlike anything else. You know, I had never seen the show, so I wasn't actually sure like how big of a production it is, but it is one of the coolest shows ever after I've been on it. I had so much fun.
Is it hard to believe it's been, what, almost 3 years?
It's unbelievable. I can't believe that it's been that long since I've been on it. I'm still hoping that they bring me back for, like, some sort of redemption series.
They need to do something like that, and with your fan support, and I was going to bring up fan support later in the show, but since that's what will help get you back on, talk about your fan support and how much your fans love you. And I'm going to just tell you this real quick story. When my daughter graduated college a couple years ago, we took her out to dinner, and you know, I asked her what she wanted for graduating. She said, "All I want is a Paige Van Zandt fight shirt," which we did get her. What's that
like?
Oh,
that's so cool.
And you can you can ask Dr. Davidson about it if you don't believe me. It is definitely true. What's it like to have people love you like that so much?
Oh, it's amazing. And, you know, because being in such a, being in the public eye is really hard. You deal with a lot of criticism. You deal with a lot of negativity. And it's, like, directly, you know, shot at you with your social media. It's hard to not see it. But, you know, for me, I feel like I have so much comfortability knowing, you know, I'll have one mean comment. I don't even have to say anything because I know. I'm like, don't worry. My fans' aunts are going to attack you. And then before I know it, like, I have 10 people coming to defend my honor. And it's these just amazing people. So it's, you know, more than just, you know, my fans get me, you know, opportunities. My fans, like, get me through the day. They get me through the negativity. They get me, you know, out of, like, that negative mindset when you can have a lot of criticism.
Did you call them the Fan Zants?
My Fan Zants, yeah.
That's awesome.
I did not come up with the term. I can't take credit for that. Somebody, a fan did. But see, here they are again.
That's fantastic. So before we talk about the fight, we're going to go back in time again. And you were also on Chopped. So talk to me about that experience,
yes.
And I want to know what was your favorite of the three plates that you made, and have you made that plate since?
Yes. Okay. So, which is funny, I'm actually watching Food Network right now. I've been watching Chopped my entire weight cut. It's absolutely my favorite TV show. So such an honor and like a dream come true to be on that show. Before my fighting career, I actually wanted to be a chef, and that's what I was going to go to school for, is like go to culinary school. So dream come true to be on it. But my favorite dish I made was my dessert. I made like an apple pie or like an apple crumble, and I made ice cream, which I have never made ice cream before. But luckily, being such a big fan of the show, I know exactly what to do, and I knew how to use the ice cream machine on there. So that was my favorite dish I've ever made. But no, I have not made it since then.
That's awesome.
It'd be a good idea too. I pride myself in my dessert round on that show.
So we need to put like a triathlon together where all the competitors do a dance, make a meal, and then what would the third portion be? What are we going to add?
Then we all fight each other.
Then fight each other.
I like it.
That's perfect. That's what we'll definitely do. All right, tell me a little bit about your opponent, and what is more important, what she is good at or what you're good at?
Yeah, my opponent is is pretty tough. You know, obviously to be in the UFC, you have to have a lot of talent. You know, I think going into this fight, it's more important what I'm good at. I use everything that I've learned, all of my skill is what's going to win this fight. And I'm going into this fight really confident and really just excited to perform again. It's been, you know, a year because of my injury. I've been out of the octagon, and I just feel this fight is so important for me to come back and, you know, stay, not just win, but get a dominant win to show how much I still belong, and I'm still, you know, I'm still in this.
Can you always take something that's negative, like being out over the past year, and turn it into a positive? Not only can you heal your body, but kind of get remotivated, get refocused, all that kind of stuff as well?
Eventually you can, you know, eventually, yes. But during the process of my arm break, I was just angry. I was angry. I was depressed. I was, it was a really hard process. I was out for a long time, and then, you know, I had to go through 2 arm surgeries. So during the process, I was just kind of mad. Like, I didn't understand why this was happening to me. And then now I can look back and be like, oh, okay, God was teaching me patience. It's the lesson I needed to learn. It was for a reason. And, you know, now I'm so happy that my first fight back does get to be here in New York, because I love New York. One, me and my husband, this is our favorite city to visit. And then 2, it's just iconic. To be able to fight in New York City is just such a big deal.
And what about one step further? Not only is it New York, but it's also the first on that 4-letter network, ESPN. What does that mean?
Yes, ESPN.
What is that? Being the first ESPN on ESPN too.
Yeah, it's huge. And that's why I just, when I got the opportunity offered to me, I was like, no way. Like, the way the cards, it really came together at the very end, with my arm being, you know, healed at the right time. And all of a sudden, it's New York and it's ESPN. And it's just such a big deal. And this is going to be just, like, so iconic. It's such a big card. And it's huge, you know. So, it's, you know, ESPN is the biggest sports network in the world. And now I get to be a part of it.
All right, so I have to ask this. I've been married almost 37 years. What's married like been different? Has anything surprised you being married?
I think what surprised me, absolutely nothing has changed. Nothing's changed. We're the same people. Now we're just married. So we didn't do a honeymoon. Our lives got extremely busy after the wedding. He fought. He's a professional fighter as well. So he fought, got signed to Bellator. I got my fight lined up. Work was just constantly going, so nothing has changed for us, which I kind of love, you know. That's why I married him, because I loved the life that I was living with him.
How difficult is that? Now, it's one thing to like each other. It's one thing to be boyfriend and girlfriend. Now being married, you know, it takes it to the next level for him to now watch his wife, or reverse, you to watch your husband in a fist fight.
Oh, it's terrifying. You know, I never understood why my mom didn't go to my fights. I've never been in that position where I was, like, madly in love with, like, you know, I always watch my teammates, and of course it makes me emotional and I'm very invested, but to have it actually be my husband fighting is terrifying. And it's like the same situation. I know exactly what my mom is going through, where, I mean, I guess even she's a little worse. I am her daughter, but, you know, I know how talented he is, but yeah, very nerve-wracking.
It's like my daughter watching you fight.
Yes.
Hey, Paige, so we had Ryan Bader on the first hour, and he was talking about fight posters, how he collects them all, and now that he's with Fedor, it moved up in hierarchy. I know you collect yours, you frame them. Who would be your one, like the move you, that fight poster you were fighting someone with, that would move up to the number one spot? Is there someone out there?
Yeah, you know, there's definitely different just legends in this sport. Like, to be able to be on the same card as, like, George St. Pierre. Like, if I had his signature on the same poster as mine, that would be really cool. Like, that would be, like, one of my favorite fight posters. So, hopefully
any female fighters that you would fight against? Who would be your fighter that would be your shrine? That would be your big, big moment?
No, not really. I mean, for me, you know, I look at the entire division, and I'm excited for whoever the UFC puts in front of me. But, you know, for me, I idolize, and I don't idolize any of my opponents. I look forward to the moments I get to, like, meet the legends, the people who created this sport.
So are you saying that you need us to get that poster signed by GSP for you?
Yes, that would be an ideal. Well, if me and him could fight on the same card, then we would both sign it.
Okay, I got you. So when he does fight again, we need to make sure that you're on the same card, and we'll take it from there. We'll get it done.
Yep.
Paige, perfect. Thank you very much for your time. I'm going to put you on hold, even though you're watching the Food Network and you're in the middle of a weight cut. We're going to send you out some wicked good cupcakes after your fight. So,
oh my gosh, I would love that.
So you and your husband can enjoy some wicked good cupcakes. We're going to put you on hold, get your address, and I'll get them in the mail sent to you tomorrow from Boston.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for your time, and best of luck to you Saturday night. That is Paige VanZant.
Yep, thank you.
Back in the Octagon Saturday night, and, you know, we wanted to do something, you know, with Emily. She's like, I can't do anything. I'm going to be at the house watching Paige's fight. So, good stuff. And like I said, whether you're a fight fan or not, whether you're a UFC fan or not, whether you've heard of the UFC mixed martial arts or not, but you're a sports fan, all you've seen on ESPN is them talk about this fight.
Sure.
You know, it's on their network. They're now the agreement. You know, New Year's Eve, Ariel did that show, and then at midnight, they ran some UFC stuff. So I think this is definitely a big deal.
It's big. There'll be a different buzz around it, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Well, what do you think about like being in a major weight cut and watching the Food Network, which is like basically food porn?
That's pretty funny.
But that's common, right? I mean, we have quite a few fighters that like claim that that's their, it doesn't bother them. They watch that.
Well, I don't think it bothers a lot of fighters because they know they have to do it. That's right. What they're doing.
Part of their job.
It's part of their job. Sure. And it's not like it's their first day of doing it.
Sure.
You know, they've done it so many times. They're used to doing it. And maybe it's a torture kind of thing. They like it as well. It's right. Like, I can't wait. I'm going to kill this person on Saturday night, and then I'm going to eat that pizza, and I'm going to eat that McDonald's, and then I'm going to eat that, Wendy's? Then I'm going to go to Wendy's.
So you're going to the White House.
Right. The house that's white.
Oh, the house is white.
What it is now.
Got it.
It's the house that's white.
So it's kind of like when you win the Super Bowl, like the happiest place on earth instead of Disney.
Do you think that one guy that stole Brady's jersey now twice, do you think he's going to be credentialed?
Probably.
I don't think he is. I don't think he is.
Like, what's the agreement for that? Like, you're around the NFL. Like,
you're not allowed to steal?
No, I know that.
Oh, well.
But with the, as soon as the quarterback wins the Super Bowl, Disney gets the first crack at, right? The publicity.
No, that's not it at all. No. What Disney does is Disney agrees, has contracts with players.
Okay.
Maybe Brady is going to do it. Maybe he says, no, I'm all right.
Okay.
So they'll go to the top. Like Dexter Jackson was not one of the Walt Disney World or Land, whoever does it. That's why in his speech, you talk about classic. Dexter Jackson is the Super Bowl MVP.
Okay.
In 02, which is the 02 season.
Okay.
In his acceptance speech, he said that he's going to take the car, whatever the car was that you win for being the MVP, and drive to Six Flags in Atlanta.
Okay.
Because he wasn't on the list.
Of the Disney.
And we just won the Super Bowl, and we're going. You need to call this awful internet company that you overpay.
Spectrum. Can I call them out?
You just did.
Spectrum.
So if they have a deal, a contract in place with, and I'm sure they will, unless Brady, like I said, says no. It'll be Brady. It'll be Breeze. It'll be the running backs. It'll be the receivers. It's always the big name people.
Sure.
So that's how it's done.
Okay.
So it's not like in Dexter's case, they didn't go shoot him. They didn't. Because he wasn't one of their guys.
Is Dexter back in the Bucks locker room now? Is he going to be a coach or a...
He's about ready. Let me rephrase that. We're about ready to make an announcement soon.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I got my hand in a couple things.
I mean, the Bucks have changed up the whole front office. Like,
you know what's going to be interesting with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and everybody calls him B.A. It's like a Baracus. Wasn't that his name? In Mr. T, wasn't his name?
Okay.
B.A. Baracus
okay.
From the A-team. You know, he's coming in. You know, he's going to have like two practices at the same time. These guys over here doing this. A lot of people seem to think that the music that blares out of One Buck is gone.
Really?
That all this shenanigan stuff is gone.
Oh, okay. I mean, he comes from Arizona. I mean, he's coming from the Cardinals.
Now, does he come from Arizona, or was he just a coach at Arizona?
He was just a coach at Arizona. Okay. I mean, he's been everywhere.
Well, he was at Temple.
Right, and he started at Temple.
And,
like 75.
You know, when I went to the coaching press conference, some of the stuff was pretty cool. There was one of his coaches was his running back, and he was his first string running back. The next year, they signed another running back. It was a name. I don't remember who it was. He's now the second string running back. So his third year, which would be freshman, sophomore, junior year, they bring another running back in who was a name that everybody recognized. He's now the third string running back, and they don't need a third string running back, so they made him a fullback. Okay. So at the end of his Temple career, he was going to graduate, he was going to move on, and BA, as we like to call him, said, no, I'm going to give you a job, like an internship.
Uh-huh.
And that was the start of his career. And then he couldn't go back to Arizona when he was there, when Arians was there. And so we brought him in here.
Wow.
Some things that I get it. I don't get it. All that kind of stuff. You know, the Todd Monken is now in Cleveland.
Okay.
So he's going to be the OC over there. The defensive line coach that everybody loved here in Tampa is now with John Gruden in L.A., Anaheim, soon to be Las Vegas.
Okay.
So interesting stuff, you know, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to next year, but I'm looking forward to this weekend.
And again, yeah.
You think New Orleans wins again, beats the Rams? They beat the Rams earlier.
That the Bucs went in and dominated in that game one of the season and beat the Saints.
Since you don't listen to this program, not that I blame you, but the year of the flood in New Orleans, the New Orleans Saints lost to
the hurricane Katrina.
Well, that was the floods too.
Well, the floods were like Harvey over in like Houston. It wasn't a flood; it was a hurricane. It was a massive Category 5 hurricane.
Which was the floods.
Yeah, the levee broke because of the hurricane, and then everything flooded.
They lost to three teams that year.
Okay.
How many losses did the Saints have this year?
One.
Three.
Not perfect.
They lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that year.
Okay.
They lost to the Bucs this year, week one. They lost to the Carolina Panthers. They just lost to the Panthers week 17.
Same teams?
And the third, I believe, was the Cowboys. And they lost to the Cowboys then, and they lost to the Cowboys now. Is that weird? Is that karma?
But they haven't had any tragedy in New Orleans, so, I mean, makes sense then. I mean, usually these
Is there tragedy in L.A. other than traffic?
Well, look, you talk about, like, how can you give more than 100%, but these teams always seem to find, like, an emotional heart tug string to rally around.
No, they don't.
They do. Houston
they
did.
They don't.
Houston won after the flood in
Harvey.
But
Houston would have won anyway. Houston was the better team. The Saints were the better team. I've said that all along, you know, with the Boston Marathon and all that
crap. The earthquake in the Bay to Bay, like in the World Series, like... Just saying.
It's a coincidence.
Just saying. It's natural disasters.
Has every natural disaster, has there been a world champion come out of that natural disaster? No. It's just we see that. So us, me included, there was a flood. Oh, there was a shooting. Oh, there was a hurricane. Well, they happened to win.
If there's a natural disaster between now and Sunday, that's where I'll put my money.
Okay.
So.
I got an idea. You go cause a natural disaster somewhere, and then I'll take your money to Vegas, and I'll bet on them.
I'm going to start a tsunami tomorrow night at this comedy show.
Where?
People are going to trample
you. Yeah, get out. That's probably the funniest thing you've said.
I'm going to write that down.
And very true.
I'm going to use it.
You should use it.
I will.
Yeah, I bet you don't, but that's pretty funny. that's the funniest thing you've said.
Thank you.
I think you definitely should use that.
I'll extend my contract with you. Is that the paperwork there?
No.
I'll sign it.
No, I don't want you to sign anything. Trust me.
I'll sign the poster with GSP. There's extra space on the corner.
We can get Paige on a fight card with GSP.
I think so.
I know Paige's manager. He can get her the GSP's autograph.
Yeah. Yeah, you can definitely make that happen.
So now I got to post that photo too, right? The photo of me with GSP.
Of course.
And what was the other photo I got to post?
Paige Manzant?
No, it was early in the show. You talked about somebody, and I said, I'll have to post the photo. Now you're going to have to listen to the first hour of the show.
No, I don't want to listen to myself talk.
I don't either, but you're not the one that said it. I did.
It's terrible. But Shane Grossman, the president of the fan club.
Shane, whose photo did I say I need to post?
Yeah, Shane. He's paying attention. He also liked my joke. He just wants me to work on my delivery.
Your delivery's awful.
As a pizza delivery guy, I'll perfect it by tomorrow night.
Your delivery's awful. Your jokes are worse.
It'll be on time. Under 30 minutes or less.
I don't find you funny. I got to be honest.
That's not funny. I'm just telling you like what I'm going to do.
Yeah, but you've told me funny stuff that you thought was funny, and it wasn't.
Yeah, well, you got to come tomorrow night and hear it live.
Now, again, I went to a comedian that my brother paid a lot of money to go see, and he wasn't funny either.
A lot of comedians aren't funny.
Oh, my God. This was brutal.
Yeah.
This was so bad. Both of my brothers got up. We're in the front row, and we're meeting this comedian afterwards. through a mutual friend. We got to meet. And we're going to go take some photos, which I have posted. And both my brothers got up to leave in the middle.
Wow.
My nephew got up to leave. I said, sit your ass back down. You are not leaving.
Well, I'm sure that happens a lot. Like comedians, you know.
He was in a bad spot. I've never. It was like we were his therapist.
You like being in the show? Do you like it when they include you? No. Or like, does it make you uncomfortable?
It doesn't bother me, but I don't like it. The first time I went to go see Russell, the friend of mine who set us up, didn't want us in the front row.
Okay.
Because he didn't want Russell, you know, to
pick on you.
We were in the second row, and he picked it. Picked us. Oh, picked yeah? this. Yeah. I'll never forget. Yeah, I won't go into what was said, but it was definitely interesting for sure. All right. We are three quarters. We're into the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Put your four fingers up, everybody, because when we come back, we are in the final countdown. Can we say that?
Yeah.
That was a movie.
The final countdown?
I believe Final Countdown was in a movie.
It was a song like that. Final Countdown.
Yeah, wasn't that the song that was coming back from one of our breaks? You, my friend, are not good.
See, I'm listening to the show.
Yeah, you should.
We have two viewers.
Every once in a while, it's not bad. All right, three quarters down, one quarter to go. When we come back, Dennis the Menace, Paige Van Zandt was already the first two. A lot of good stuff still to come. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sec. Joe Benavidez.
Living easy, living free, season ticket on a one-way ride, asking nothing, leave me be, check out everything in my spine, don't need reason, don't need rhyme, ain't nothing I'd rather do, going down, party time, my
is the Tantalk Radio Network.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust, to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Clear Energy Massage and Wellness is dedicated to providing you with the highest quality of care and proud to be the official massage and wellness facility of the 2018 Player Show. A clinical deep tissue massage from Clear Energy Massage and Wellness can provide the relief from pain and stress. We tailor each session to you and your needs to provide you the best care possible. Conveniently located at 4255 Henderson Boulevard in Tampa. Sports massage, deep tissue, acupuncture, medical massage, and much more. Improve your health today. Call 813-769-9280 or go to clinenergywellness.com and go Bucks!
Ride in luxury. Go to Tampa Limo and Car LLC.com today. Going to the prom, the airport, or that special night on the town, call Tampa Limo and Car at 813-415-4576 and ride in luxury. Tampa Limo and Car has a fleet of sedans, SUVs, vans, minibuses, limos, party buses, and the motor coach. Professionally trained and dressed chauffeurs will handle all of your needs. Going to the Bucks game? Go in style. Book online at TampaLimoAndCarLLC.com today.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
Monster Jam! Heart-pounding action and non-stop excitement. Adrenaline-charged family entertainment. Tickets start at $15. Restrictions and additional charges may apply. Camping World Stadium, January 19th. Visit MonsterJam.com today.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Mike Evans with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
All right, we are back. Let me turn that up just a little.
Oh, yeah.
Joe Benavidez, momentarily, I forgot to make an announcement.
Oh, by all means.
April 20th.
April 20th, that's the International Day of Smoking.
What are you talking about?
420?
420-19 in Tampa, or just on the outskirts of Tampa.
Okay.
The Randy regime will be in full force at the Rugged Maniac.
Oh, Rugged Maniac. I'll be a little late.
We're doing the Maniac. We're doing the Rugged Maniac.
Maybe a little slow getting started.
Why?
It's 420.
I don't know what that means.
International tea time, baby.
I don't know what that means, baby.
Everybody smokes at the same time around the world.
I think not.
April 20th, that's what it's for.
That's what it's for.
That's why the day was created.
The day was created for that. Oh, my God. McDummy. we're going to have Shane make a meme of McDummy running the race. And you need that suit that we saw at the cert. We got to get it.
The Dickies overalls.
Yeah. Either that or the other one.
Did you see the
lady who wanted to give us no minutes of her time?
Did you see that controversial art exhibit where Ronald McDonald was on a cross somewhere? I think is
no
Israel. No, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. I think I did see that.
That's sparking controversy now.
Well, you're going to run the Rugged Maniac dressed as McDummy.
I don't have any red hair anymore.
You don't have to have red hair. You're going to be in the suit.
Can't be McDummy without red hair.
Oh, you're McDummy no matter what you're wearing. You know, so that really doesn't matter. But McDummy needs to run. I'm not asking.
All right.
I'm not asking.
I'll do it.
I know you won't. April 20th. Rumor has it Eric in Denver will be here.
Awesome.
Rumor has it Grossman may come. I don't know if he's running it, but he swore he'd never do it again. But I've seen stuff that says he's missing out.
He'll do it.
He's missing the itch.
He'll do it.
And then we'll go to Torta Pizza after that.
Okay.
Let's stay on schedule. So we're going to have Joe Benavidez any minute.
Okay.
And then Chris Lytle, I guess, just got back to the firehouse.
Oh, nice.
So then we'll go to Chris Lytle. And then we're going to call Mystery Man on the mermaids.
The mermaid, that's cool.
Okay.
That's a cool...
yeah, it's kind of cool.
It's awesome.
So we'll get that. We'll take care of that. So we have three things to do.
Says he's in. He's running.
All right, he's running.
In. He's running.
All right.
Maybe we can do like one of those three-legged races where we tie like two
you,
legs
together. Eric, and Shane.
I'll be in the middle.
You normally are.
In the middle of my menage, I'm usually...
With those two guys.
Sure, why not?
Oh, my God.
We'll discriminate. I love everybody.
You give me a headache. Got to be honest with you. Oh, my God. Just absolutely you give me a headache. And I don't know how to combat it.
So we need a sponsorship for headache medicine.
Well.
I'm on it.
Head back to Brooklyn for one more time today.
Oh, no.
You upset that you're not going?
Oh, I got breaking news. Your boy,
okay.
Chris Hansen from To Catch a Predator, has been arrested for writing bad checks, allegedly.
I don't know who Chris Hansen is.
Remember the TV show? Bad checks. When was the last time you wrote a check, Randy?
Ironically, I wrote one today.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did. I wrote one today because I have to pay our quarterly insurance for Priscilla.
Oh, okay.
But typically, I don't write checks.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know where to get a check anymore.
Well, that's online banking. So you really don't have to do that anymore. So, all right. So once again, let's head back up to Brooklyn.
Okay.
Saturday night, Four Letter Network. It's going to be cool, you know, to associate UFC and the Four Letter Network. Let's welcome Joe Benavidez to the show. Joe, how are you?
Really good. How are you guys?
Not too bad. Talk about that. Oh, no. Thank you for your time. Talk about, you know, the relationship and the words. Or the letters ESPN and what that means to you as a UFC fighter. You know, we know what it means to the fans and the media, but what does it mean to the fighters?
Yeah, it's really amazing. It's just kind of one of those things where it's just like, you know, it's weird in this sport. You know, it's so new, so we really feel like we are lucky enough to be in a time where like things are evolving. Like for me, you know, maybe there was a dead point, you know, 25 years ago where guys are just fighting, but for me, it's like, I've seen it when it goes through Fox, you know, when I went from like Facebook to Fox to like our own Fight Pass to like getting the UFC Performance Institute, and just every day I'm kind of like, wow, I can't believe we're taken care of so well. So now, honestly, getting to the biggest sports network, it's just crazy. It's one of those things you never would take for granted or expect, but you're just like, this is great. We're getting the respect. This is what we work for. You know, because us in MMA, we're always looked at as kind of, not the black sheep of athletes by any means, but, you know, just not as serious. So to be on ESPN, it's kind of like that. We made it together. You know, it's been like a long road to get here. So I don't know. It's almost like you get there and you feel just like validated and like we're equals, you know, in the athletic world now because we're on ESPN too. So it's a great feeling, but something to keep you definitely inspired every day.
You know, I know this question is going to be like, you know, who was your favorite parent? Which was better, being on, and it's still called a baseball card no matter what?
Oh, no, my favorite parent's easy, my mom.
Yeah, and mine, but anyway. Mind you, even though my kids in the hospital probably right now, but for sure. So which is better? Which was a better feeling, getting that first baseball card, you know, the UFC top set, or being on ESPN?
I would say ESPN because the Topps card was cool to see, but nothing emotionally, like, and journey, like, came attached with it, if you know what I mean. Like, I got the card, I'm like, that's cool. This thing, I get a whole fight and everything that goes along with it. Like, I'm in New York with my coaches. I'm shopping at Saks on Fifth Avenue. You know, like, we're on ESPN. We're in New York. Like, it's a physical, emotional thing that we're going through where, like, the card is really cool to see once, you know, but there's so much more goes along with the fight and being on the first one.
You talked about how the UFC has changed from, you know, Facebook and Spike and then Fox and now on ESPN. How has your training changed since day one? You've been in this fight game a long, long time. How has that changed?
Thank you so much. Oh, it's changed tremendously, honestly. I mean, I think everyone's has, you know, like, you know, it used to be like you train in a garage in your local gym. I think everyone started there, and then it's just evolved. I mean, now I'm at the UFC Performance Institute, Extreme Couture, you know, one of the biggest gyms in the world and the fight capital of the world in Las Vegas, getting taken care of. Like, I just got physical therapy, you know, this morning. You know, got getting everything taken care of. I'm having meals made for me today. So it's pretty crazy.
Your last
stuff
fight,
like that happens, you know, and it just like I said, it's one of those things that just always keeps evolving. It's just like, wow, this, we're really growing, we're really working hard, everything's coming to fruition. It's like I said, you feel just like validated for the work because like this is amazing. Like this morning I woke up and called a physical therapist and I'm like, hey, my neck kind of hurt from sleeping, and you know, she like worked on me all day and dry needled me and like stuff like that. So the training has changed tremendously. We used to just maybe put some ice on or have, like, my wife walk on my back or something. So.
How much bigger can the sport be? And you know, when I talk to the athletes, I've covered the UFC since UFC 11, the longest-running MMA show in the country. You know, I still say that it hasn't reached its peak, that it still can and will get bigger. How much bigger can we get the sport?
We carry that. It's a little heavy. I think it's as big as it can get, because the thing with our sport is it's international, and that's when you see things blow up, when it has a world appeal. Like, somebody from, you know, Australia or something could come and not be into American football, or, like, you know, like, we have a Chinese rowing team in the Performance Institute right now. They have no idea what's going on in American football. But the whole world is interested in a fight, and people from all around the world fight. So it's one of those things where it's huge because it's worldly. Everyone can go, you can go all over the world and put on a fight. You go all over the world and find, you know, a place to train and like-minded people in the fight family. So it's huge. It's a bigger, you know, network and stuff than some sports that are just, you know, taken down to just like one region of the world. Like, fighting's worldwide. So, I mean, it can grow. It's already growing all over the world.
Have you ever caught yourself, and I always tell the story, this is probably one of my favorite answers anybody ever gave me. I asked one of the fighters, you know, have you ever daydreamed? And he said, I was in the middle of the fight. I was fighting Dennis Seaver. They were talking German, obviously, and for a second, what's the name of the movie?
Inglourious Bastards.
He said, I drifted to that movie because they were talking German and I thought about it. Has anything crazy, silly like that happened to you?
You do have, it's weird. You have random thoughts. Like, even though the fight is so fast, it is weird because you can have, like, split-second thoughts like that that are really weird. Even if it's, like, an intricate, like, detailed technique, you can, like, think about it in a half a second. But as far as, like, roaming off that far, not really. One time, well, like, for one, when I'm going in, I always do come to, like, the realization of how weird it is that I'm about to fight a guy. Like, I'm always, like, I'm pumped, and I'm like, yeah, like, I'm going to fight a guy. But I'm like, this is crazy. I'm actually going to just fight a guy. So that's always weird. Other than that, it's been for me, like, I've seen celebrities in the crowd, and I wasn't during the fight, but I was warming up. I actually waved to Khloe Kardashian and told her hi, and she waved back. So that was pretty funny because I'm a fan of the Kardashians, funny enough. And then I also body slammed a guy, like, in front of Mike Tyson. I looked up and smiled at him. But that's pretty much it. That's pretty funny, though. You guys see Mike Tyson. I'm wrestling in front of Mike Tyson. He's loving it.
Now, did Tyson wave back to you as well?
He smiled, yeah.
Well, that's still pretty cool. All right, so your opponent Saturday night, Ortiz, you fought him before. It has been a couple years. Can you take anything from that? Or because it's been so long, he's changed, you've changed, and it really doesn't help at all?
No, it's one of those things, yeah, like, you can't look too far into another fight. Like, in this sport, I believe in just having, like, a short memory. Like, if you do something good, you can't, like, dwell on it and how incredible it is. You know?
Right.
It's done. But, like, if you lose, you also can't, like, beat yourself up. Like, it goes on. Whether you win or lose, like, you got to do the same thing. You got to go in the gym. You got to get better. So the thing, like, Ortiz, I really take in the confidence that I already beat him pretty handily. I take in our experience of who we fought and what we've done in our careers. But as far as the last fight, like I said, like, you got to have a short memory. You can't think he's the same. He's gotten better. And it's a totally different fight, but that's what's exciting is you train to improve every day. You know, like, that's why we're in the sport. And so it's kind of nice just to see, you know, how the improvement came along with 4 years of everything. So yeah, it'll be cool. Like, I've seen him do a few things, but I don't by any means look at us and, like, we're the same fighters. He's going to do this. So that's what's fun about it, though. It's just like, well, this is what happened last time. Now let's see.
When it's all said and done Saturday, what does it come down to? You stopping what he does best or him stopping what you do best?
I'm going to do what I do best, but he's not going to stop it, I think, is the answer. Right?
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I confused me with the question, but yeah, like, I'm definitely going to do what I'm going to do best, and he's just not going to be able to stop it. And I think that's really what it comes down to. And to answer the other question, I mean, I can stop what he does best too. So, like I said, I think I'm just all around better guy. Like, look at our careers, look at what we've done. We've both been around for a long time, but I think there's a reason I've been, you know, number one or two in the world at two different weight classes for 9 years now, where, you know, he's, you know, been a pretty solid top 10 guy. I think this is his time with 3 wins in a row to test it. But, you know, I think I'm up there.
Which is
on another level.
Which is better for you with the main event? Which is better for your career on TJ winning or Henry winning? Which is better for you?
Henry winning 100%. I think everyone in the division is kind of rooting for him to win. It's better for me. I have a win over him already. Right. I don't think TJ really wants to do anything at 25 besides prove that he can make it and beat a guy. Doesn't mean he's the best, but, like, he beats one guy, fights once, makes the weight. That's all he's proven. Where with Henry, I think there's a long, you know, lot of matchups to follow. For one, me and him, you know, having me already have a win over him. And there's matchups and matchups after that, you know, now that, you know, Demetrius losses a lot, like how I look at, like, when Anderson Silva lost, you know, and he seemed so dominant. He was having some weird matchups at the end. It wasn't really too even entertaining. And then when he lost, the division just opened up, and now we've had just different champion after different title fight. that's how I see the division now, that Henry went and got the win. And, yeah, so I think that's definitely what's better for the division, because TJ, I mean, he's not in the division.
Right. Okay. Good stuff. Joe, thank you very much your time. We're gonna put you on hold for a second so we can get your address, and we're going to send you out some 8-man strong gear for giving us a couple minutes of your time, as well as a box of Wicked Good Cupcakes as well.
Oh, you guys are the best. Thank you.
Well, make sure you eat them after the fight, though.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Thanks, Joe. I appreciate it. Best of luck to you Saturday night.
Yep. Bye.
On ESPN, I'm telling you, it's cool.
It's heating up.
You know, when my TV goes on in the morning, it goes straight to ESPN. Yeah. I mean, that's what turns on when I turn it on.
Sure.
Of course, the cable company sets it up so it goes to their channel, right. Well, Bay News 9. But no, I changed that thing.
You got to be quick so it doesn't register. So you'd rather
because then they get the numbers. Right. Well, no, it's logged in. Right. I don't change it. It gets logged in right away. All right. So Chris Lytle called back.
Okay.
And we're going to get with Chris real quick.
Awesome.
Talk to him for about 8 minutes. Then we're going to call the mystery caller because I promised.
You made a promise.
So we need to make sure that we do this. You know, he never told me his name, I don't think. Sir.
Do we need it?
It's going to be sir. Yeah. Sir, tell me about your products.
Mr. Mermaid?
No, he's not Mr. Mermaid. That's Aquaman. Isn't Aquaman Mr. Mermaid?
I guess that would
right?
be.
Right?
Yeah, that's Mr. Mermaid.
Have you seen the movie?
I've not.
It's not bad.
I've seen the guy. He looks like a mermaid.
Well, you know, a local guy is a star of the movie as well, Patrick
really?
Wilson.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's the bad guy. And, you know, the Wilson family, John Wilson
yeah.
from sure. whatever TV channel. And
Fox
and,
13.
Right. Is that what it is, Fox?
Yeah, Fox.
I coached the son.
Did you really?
I think the third one.
Okay.
And he broke his leg. And so I like coached him for a week or two, and then he broke his leg. And
yeah, they're local. They went to Shorecrest,
I
think.
Shorecrest. And, yeah. Well, I had probably the most stacked baseball team ever.
Wow.
When I'm saying ever, we had the stars of Shorecrest, St. Pete Catholic, and Northeast High School.
Okay.
We were stacked.
Well, you need Danny Almeida?
Yeah.
What was the kid from
New York? They claimed that he was 12, but he was really 18. Yeah.
He was dominant, though.
All right, so the fire's been put out in Indianapolis. And again, we need to make sure we save time for what I promised. Chris Lytle, how are you, sir?
What's happening, guys? Sorry I was late before. We had something that ran over. So.
I can't believe that the concern is more to make sure your city is safe. That's just so shocking to me.
I know. Trying to defend lives and property. That's what we do here.
That's what you do. All right. So you're back at it. It's now not only bare knuckle, but it's now us against them because it's a country thing now. How much fun does that add, or you don't need any more fun added? This is just a lot of fun for you.
I mean, it's always fun, but the cool thing about this is I was telling somebody the other day, it's just like, you know, when you're in fighting, it's never like you don't get like that Olympic type of, you know, atmosphere where you can be like, you know, you play basketball, you play baseball, you play all these other sports, you get to go represent your country. I mean, I never really get to represent my country here. You know, you go to other places and you fight, but I've been to other countries fighting Americans, so you never really know. But here, this is one time where it's like, this is U.S. and we're going against Mexico, so there is a little bit more to it. Like, hey, I want to win one for my team to give my team the best chance of winning, you know what I'm saying? When I think of Mexico, I think of tough-ass fighters, so I want to go over there and beat those guys.
You need to fix your
Hello?
Internet. Yeah. Matt's internet is just awful here, Chris. Sorry about that. I'm going to assume, knowing you as well as I do, that with all of that, with us against another country, and it doesn't matter what the country is, it even adds to it that you're not fighting in the U.S. for the U.S., you're fighting outside of the U.S. for the U.S.
Oh, I love that, man. I love going into somebody's backyard. I love being booed, and I love it when you go out there and you have a good attitude. Like, oh, you don't like me? Oh, I'm going to come in here and fight real hard. I'm going to beat your guy, and I'm going to, you know, it's going to be a bad, I'm sorry. You know, there's something to add to that. When people are mad at you, but they can't be mad at you when you come in there and do the right thing, you know. You come in, you have a good attitude, you go out there and just put on a good fight. I mean, if somebody does that here, that wins me over. You know, I'm like, all right, dude, I'm not happy my team lost, but I like the way they did that. And I think that builds a lot of, I don't know if camaraderie is the right word, but it helps people like appreciate the sport more than the fighters, because they're like, hey, man, this guy, had every chance to go in here and show his ass and not do the right thing, but he went out it the right way, and he took what I had to say. Good for him, man. I like it.
Wait a second. You mean somebody has booed you in a fight?
I remember one of my first boxing matches. It was all I went to this Indian reservation. And I fought the, you know, they announced my name, Chris Little. I'm like, Little? It's what? And, you know, people booed me. I was like, ah, why are they booing me? And then the guy came out. He was all dressed in his Indian garb and dancing. And, yeah, they liked him. But I beat him. And by the end, they you know, they cheered for me. It wasn't too bad.
It was a Rocky Balboa rush or whatever number the Rocky was where they booed him in at the
Rocky
end.
That was Rocky number four. Rocky was, four, yeah.
What's your favorite Rocky?
Oh, man. I don't know. Probably, I have to say that number one is probably the best one. But I don't know, man. I remember I was like the third one. It's almost a comedy. Some of the things they say are so stupid in there. But I don't know.
The only reason why I brought it up is everybody hates Five. Five has been voted the worst of all time, and it's my favorite. The street fight to me is
really?
Just... Yeah, the street fight's awesome. You knock him down once you try to knock him down. That's my ringtone. I mean, I absolutely love it.
Him and Tommy Gunn?
Yep, exactly. We've had you on the program numerous times. We've talked about, you know, how training is a little bit easier for this than, obviously, MMA. This is now, you know, you've had a couple of these. Has anything changed? Have you had to add anything to your regimen of training?
No, if anything, I'm taking stuff away from it. One thing I've realized is, you know, I don't know. I remember, like, last fight, I went in there, and, you know, my coach was getting mad at me because I go in there and I spar a lot. I remember one day, probably a little over a 24-hour period, I went in there and sparred twice, and I think I got 10 rounds in one and 8 the other day. He's like, you sparred 18 rounds in 2 days. Damn it, Chris, stop doing that. You don't need to do that. And he's right, you know. I mean, going in there and just sparring a lot, I love doing it, but it's probably not the most beneficial. So I've been trying to spar, you know, a little bit less, doing more where, you know, hitting the pads, hitting the mitts, and, you know, having those body shields, just really wearing myself out on hitting things without getting hit, you know, and trying to work on more moving and not being there for the return fire. As far as, you know, I like doing it, but you don't want to take that many punches, so I'm trying to just work on getting in, getting out, being smarter, more effective, and being in great shape that way.
Have you ever, and I've asked all the athletes that have been on this show today, and I always tend to ask this, have you ever drifted? Have you ever daydreamed in the middle of a fight? And if so, you know, what caused that and what happened?
I don't think I've ever, I don't believe I have, because, I mean, I feel like I'm always pretty hyper aware. This guy is trying to snap my head off, you know, so that's, it's funny. You don't even really notice certain things. Like, I will look back to later when somebody, you know, hear, like, somebody will mention something in the crowd said. I'm like, yeah, I remember when they said that, but I didn't really recognize it when they said it. I mean, I heard it and I processed it, but I didn't focus on it until later. So, like, I'm just very aware that I better put all my attention on this guy who's trying to take my head off. And you know, that's usually everything else going on around me isn't really being paid attention to. I mean, I guess I'm breathing and I guess I'm doing stuff, but I'm not paying any attention to it. I'm focused on that other person's trying to kill me.
All right, your fight's in, I think it's just over 2 weeks, next Saturday. The finale out at Bellator, we've talked about that as well. Who do you think pulls this off, Ryan Bader or Fedor?
You know, that's a very tough fight, very tough. Tough to call. I think I'm going to go with Fedor right now just because he looked so good in his last fight. And the fact, to me, he has more ways of winning. I mean, to me, Bader has one way of winning. I mean, I guess anybody can get knocked out, but I think a more realistic way, I think he has to take it down and hold him down for three, you know, five, however many long. And he has to hold him down the whole fight to win, I think. And I think Fedor, you know, early on especially, has the ability to knock out or submit Bader if it happens pretty early. So I'm going to go with him, but it's not a big, I'm not saying this is a landslide. I can definitely see it going either way. It's a tough one.
Cool. Good stuff. As always, thank you very much for your time. We already have your address, so we're going to send you out some more 8-Man Strong gear for coming on, as we always do.
8-Man Strong will be wore when I'm in Mexico some now, too. So all those people down there are going to be like, what is this 8-Man Strong? And I'll let them know what it is.
There you go, because we are 8-Man Strong. Chris, as always, thanks for your time. I'll talk to you again real soon.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
Take care. Chris Lytle.
Awesome.
And you've been around me long enough.
A long time.
You know, for some reason, when I take photos, I don't smile.
You're not a smiler.
I'm not a smiler.
You don't do it.
I don't do it. Chris Lytle makes me smile. He does. Yeah. He's just one of those good guys.
I think the last time I saw you smile was in Brooklyn at the base of the Brooklyn Bridge. Last time I documented a photo of you smiling.
I don't know. I don't remember that.
Yeah. I got it captured.
Really?
It was at the Brooklyn 223.
Well, I know the only time I've been in Brooklyn, so I understand.
Okay.
I would have thought I would have smiled at Coney Island because that's where the Warriors played.
Yeah, but we didn't make it to the actual boardwalk. So that was my fault. We stopped at the Nathan's hot dog stand out there. Got an iconic hot dog that tasted like a hot dog from the Tropicana Field.
Yes, it did.
Honest.
Yes, it did. All right, so we did reach out to Mermaid Man.
No, he's not answering.
Somebody answered. It was a female. She didn't know anything about nothing.
That's the girl. That's the.
All I know is I promised them we would call them. Remember, I said, I guarantee I'll put you on. And then I said, I stand corrected. I guarantee we will call you.
You did.
I called.
You did your part.
I did my thing. I did my thang.
Shout out to Eric Mayoral. He's at the Coors Brewery right now doing the tour. An hour ago, he checked in. So we had a good time out there at the Coors Brewery.
And thank God we didn't stand in that line.
But your boy Adolf. Every time I say Adolf, he tense up. I don't know why.
That's not funny either. You really need to, not only do you need to work on your delivery for tomorrow, you need to work on your jokes.
I'm not putting that joke in the it's not even a joke. The guy's name is Adolf Coors. You freak out.
What are you drinking, Mountain Dew straight? You're trying to get jacked up?
Do the dew, man. Trying to get a sponsor.
I don't know. I'd have to drink it.
You want to sponsor? Anybody want to sponsor the Naked Pizza Man tomorrow?
No.
I could use at least a shirt sponsor or something. Some pants sponsor.
We're Knockout Radio.
You really want your brand associated with my...
I don't want you associated with my brand.
I'm not even going to wear my 8-Man Strong hat. I'm just going to go in case I fail.
Wait a second. I hate to say this.
When I fail?
Yeah.
No, I'm going to kill it.
I don't think there's any case.
No, I'm going to kill it. I'm going to dominate tomorrow night.
All right. More importantly, who's the headliner?
This open mic. It's available for anybody.
Well, I was hoping that people would be there. So
there will be people. It's Tampa Improv. I mean, they bring in big names. Like they bring in Bruce. They bring in Tracy Morgan. They got
Mark. What everybody has to have double names. Bruce.
Yeah. There's the Chinese comedian Chin Chin.
Oh, God.
The double champ.
You are absolutely killing me.
I'll give you front row. You can sit in the front. I won't pick on you.
Well, if I sat in the front row, I'd throw stuff at you.
Would you throw pants? A belt?
No. Speaking of belt, sweet belt, mission belt.
Thank you for the introduction. The mission belt is awesome.
It is awesome.
I didn't know I needed that in my life.
You do.
But I'll be honest.
We all need
I got
belt
trapped mode. In it the first time I tried to go to the restroom. You know, I waited a little too long. And I couldn't remember. I have to push up and over and out. There's like a code to it. It's kind of like a left, right, A, B start from like, the old video games.
Yeah.
So that's how you had to get out of this belt. But man, let me tell you about quality and like.
Mission Belt is awesome. Mission Belt was on Shark Tank. We've done giveaways. They'll be on the program next Wednesday.
Oh, from the PGA?
Yeah. See, nice. Now, I thought I was you. I thought it was funny. I know where they're from.
All right.
They're from Salt Lake City.
Okay.
And I made it a point to say I was going to Book of Mormon that week. He didn't find that very funny because they're Mormon.
Yeah.
But whatever. So I failed like you're going to do tomorrow.
Wow. Was that a Steve Young joke? Like, didn't his grandfather start that?
Not his grandfather, but his like great-great-grandfather.
How was it?
Is Brigham Young.
Brigham
or
Young.
Or was. Mm-hmm. Right now, he's dirt.
What does he do now?
He's dead.
Oh.
You never saw the Book of Mormon?
No.
You need to catch that out.
No, I don't watch that kind of stuff.
Yeah. What do you mean? It's a play. It's like, it was awesome. Oh. It was fantastic. I really enjoyed it. It's one of the few times I've really enjoyed something.
Okay.
Because I normally don't enjoy a whole lot of things.
That's true.
Like time with you.
You love it. You keep coming back for this abuse every week.
Only because my internet's worse than yours. If my internet was better, believe me, I wouldn't be here.
That's true.
I know it's true.
That's true.
All right. Do you want to do picks for this week?
Yeah, sure.
Do you have the card, or is that asking too much?
I'll look it up.
All right. We have 2.5 minutes.
Okay.
Could you maybe step it up?
I'm trying. My internet's slow. You know this.
Well, your internet's not what you're on.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Just how about the three fighters that we had on? You want to just pick all three of them and say yes?
Hold on.
Jeez. Or your main event?
Just calm down.
Who are you picking in the main event? Cejudo or Dillashaw?
Dillashaw, for sure.
For sure?
For sure.
You know, if Cejudo wasn't so cocky on ESPN, I don't know. I think I would take Cejudo.
You're going Dillashaw.
Just because you went Dillashaw, I'm going to go Cejudo.
Perfect. All right. Then your co-main event, you got Greg Hardy. This is his first debut, right, since coming from the Cowboys?
He's been on, you know, the Dana looking for a fighter thing.
But this is his first official UFC fight against Alan Crowder.
Does Crowder have a record at all? And I mean a fight record.
I think he assault and battery. I'll go Hardy. Why not?
I want to go anybody that's fighting Greg Hardy.
Okay.
But I'm sure that they handpicked his opponent for this fight.
Okay.
So I guess I have no choice.
All right, lightweight bout. We got Gillespie versus Medeiros.
I'll take whoever you don't.
I'll take Medeiros.
Okay, so I'll take whoever you don't.
Then in our interview earlier with Joseph, Benavidez versus Dustin Ortiz.
I'll go Benavidez again.
I'll take Ortiz.
Of course you will.
Van Zandt versus Ostrovic.
You know, and I didn't bring it up. You know the whole story with her and the domestic abuse that she was involved in. And you know, a lot of people were up in arms because she's on this card and, you know, so Greg Hardy was on. And what I read was Dana went to her and she said, I'm fine with it, you know, whatever. But I'm going to go with PVZ because I know how much Grossman loves those initials.
I'll go Paige just because I like Paige.
And she likes you.
She's cute. Yeah. Thank you. Let's see. Teixeira versus Robertson.
I'll go with Mark Teixeira, first baseman for the New York Yankees.
Perfect. And then on the prelims, which I'm still very upset about, Donald Cerrone.
I still can't believe he's even on this card.
Why is he not in the main event?
He should be the main event.
Of course. Why is he not on the main card?
It should be a three-way. He should be the fight the winner of the Greg Hardy fight and the Cejudo Dillashaw.
Yeah.
Two against one.
It's crazy that Donald Cerrone is not.
Want to thank everybody for tuning in. Next week we will be live from the PGA Golf Show. A lot of cool stuff. I will have another major announcement, I hope. Phone call in about 3 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
So for 8-Man Strong and Staff Zone, this has been Knockout Radio. Hit me up on Twitter @KnockoutRadio.
That makes you keep the man warm.
See everybody next week.